It's about not getting swept away by fear and doubt. When we think about not getting swept away by fear and doubt, I want you to think back to how we talked about the rip currents last week. And remember how we talked about how the waves come in, and they're very powerful as they come in. They come in over a sandbar, and there's two sandbars next to each other with a deeper spot in the middle. And the water piles up on that side of the sandbars, and then it goes out very quickly. And as it goes out very quickly, it creates a rip current. And this is what Jesus had warned them about. If you remember where we are in the story, Jesus is with the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says to them twice, pray that you are not led into temptation. And he's saying, be careful of the rip current that will pull you out into the sea of fear and doubt. And don't let it take you out and so that you are lost in fear and doubt. And the answer to that is prayer and anchoring our soul to truth about God. And Jesus has been warning them to not be carried away by fear and doubt all the way from Capernaum. And so if you've been with us a while, you know that Jesus has journeyed from the north in Capernaum all the way down to Jerusalem. And Jesus has been warning them all along. So in Luke chapter 9, we read, and the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Remember, he says this much before this, much before Luke 22. We read in Luke chapter 9, when he's up north in Capernaum, I am going to be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Jesus tells them what is going to happen so that they won't be swept away by fear and doubt. And then he's captured. It's one thing to resolve not to be swept away by fear and doubt when things are good and comfortable. It's another thing when things are very wrong and things are very broken. And then Jesus is captured. And then we read this in Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. And then they seized him. This is, of course, Jesus. And led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man was also with him. That's really important. If you like to circle in your Bible, if you like to write in your Bible, you might circle that word with him. It will be important later on. So Peter follows the party that arrests Jesus into the courtyard. They kindle a fire and in the middle of the courtyard to stay warm. And then Peter is so daring that he goes down and sits in the middle of that party that has just arrested Jesus. I just want you to have a sense of how much courage that must have taken. Peter had resolved not to get swept away by fear and doubt. But a servant girl kind of calls him out and says, I think you were one of those who were with him. And of course, Peter denies it, saying, woman, I don't know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I really have to believe that's one of the sharpest verses in the Bible. one of the most piercing verses in the Bible. As Jesus has said, warned Peter earlier, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter says, "Lord, these other guys, they might deny you, but I will never give way to fear and doubt. I will stick with you. I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." And of course, we just read of Peter denying that he even knows Jesus. Well, not being with Jesus, but even knows Jesus. He denies us three times, and Jesus turns and makes eye contact with Peter. What must that have been like? And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. And they also blindfolded him. This is, of course, Jesus. And kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" So evidently they had heard that Jesus was considered a prophet by the people, and so they blindfold Jesus and say things like, "What's my name?" And then they strike Jesus and say, "Who is it that hit you?" Mocking Jesus as a false prophet. And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. I think there's a strong dose of hope for us in this passage. And I think that hope is that Jesus took our place. Jesus was treated as a false prophet, as he bore the sins of all the false prophets that came before him. Jesus took our place. He bore our sins for all the lies, all the arrogant bluster that had gone before, that will come after. Jesus was bearing that sin. The sins of the bullies that are beating up on Jesus and feeling big by beating him down, Jesus died for that sin. Jesus died for the soldier's sins, for Peter's sins, for your sins, and for my sins. So I want to ask my friends here, if we get a strong dose of hope that Jesus took our place, like, how does this help us anchor our souls to God? How does this meet us in our living room on Sunday morning? How does it help us anchor our souls to God? What do you guys think?
The Lord was willing to be with us in the places we shouldn't go. Not afraid of the choices that we'd make that are dishonoring or ugly, hurtful. And since he was willing to do that for me, and finish the job, finish his mission all the way to the cross, that I don't have to have a perfect day. I don't have to have a perfect life. It's not up to me. I can rest in what he's done. So I'm tied to him. We can never pay that back.
Amen.
You know, I think what we're looking at here is Jesus, he's setting the stage for us. I mean, we understand what he did in this situation, and so it can apply to our lives now, because if he did it back then, he's doing it today for us also. Mm. You know, we need to take that hope in him continuously and just keep moving forward. It's not like he's saying, "I just did this in the past." This is a continuous thing that he will always do for us, so we should always have our hope set in him.
Amen. That is so encouraging as well, to know that this is how Jesus is. Amen. Well, and that is That is really good news, and I think just taking what you guys said and going back to Scripture with it, I think if we look at chapter 22, verse 31, where Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat." And I think that's kind of what we see, is Simon Peter being sifted and doing a face plant and getting a terrible bloody nose with a bunch of road rash on his face from kind of skidding along the road from falling so hard. But Jesus says, and then in verse 32, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, that though you give way to fear and doubt, that fear and doubt overwhelm you and carry you out to sea. I've prayed for you that you may not lose your faith, Peter. And when you have turned, strengthen your brothers." And to me, that's the best news, and the best, most encouragement, I think, that almost I see in this passage, is the transformation in Peter. That because of Jesus' death, because Jesus was numbered with the transgressors, that because Jesus died in Peter's place, that Jesus could forgive Peter's sin, and then Peter could be utterly transformed. So on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, it falls on Peter, and Peter gets up and preaches a sermon that we still read, that is still talked about, that is still life-transforming. He preaches with utter, ridiculous boldness. We see the change in his life as he does what Jesus tells him to do. When you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. Then in Acts chapter 3, you see Peter heal a lame man, just like Jesus would have. And this gets people's attention because this guy had been lame since he was, you know, born. And here he is over 40, and everyone knew. No one could say this. He was faking it. Like, no one fakes it for that long. And then walks. Like here, they could not argue with this changed life. And it gets a lot of attention. And so the same people that killed Jesus, the same people Peter was so afraid of, call Peter in and say, "You better stop." And Peter says, "I'm going to keep preaching that you killed Jesus and that he rose from the dead. Bring it." And then we read this. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," this is a changed life. As Peter has turned again, he has said, "I am not going back to that. I know what giving way to fear and doubt leads to, and I will not do that again." "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," they perceived that they were uneducated and common men, and they were astonished. And they recognized that they had, ready for this? What did Peter deny when the servant girl says, "Hey, I've seen him before. He's the loudest one. He's hard to forget. You've been with Jesus." And then Peter says, "Well, I don't even know him." And then someone else says, "Wait, you were one of them." And Peter says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And then the third person says, hey, you were with Jesus. When they see Peter's boldness, they recognize that they'd only seen this boldness one other place. And that was Jesus. And they recognize that they had been with Jesus. They couldn't deny this changed life. They couldn't deny that Peter was not giving way to fear and doubt, that they had only seen this courage in one other place, and that was Jesus. And that here is Peter going from denying Jesus, getting swept away by fear and doubt, to being so courageous, no one can deny that he's been with Jesus. So Peter keeps preaching, and the church keeps growing, and they put him in jail. And an angel comes and frees him from jail and tells him to go to the temple and preach the words of life. And so Peter goes to the temple and preaches the words of life, that this Christ who was killed, God has also raised, and there is forgiveness of sins for those who repent. And so the same people that Peter was so afraid of, the same people that killed Jesus, put him in jail. He gets out of jail. He goes into the temple and preaches. They bring him back in. And they say, you're trying to bring his blood on our head. You're trying to get people in riots. You're trying to turn them against us. You better stop. You better stop. And then Peter says, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. I want you to take hope. Number one, because Jesus loves us enough to be numbered with the transgressors. That Jesus loves us enough to bear our sin. That Jesus loves us enough to take our place. Number two, I want you to take hope that Jesus changes lives. That Jesus doesn't quit on people. That Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, and that gives us courage and boldness in the face of fear and doubt. That Jesus was true to his word to use Peter to strengthen his brothers. And so what I have written here is take hope that Jesus still uses Peter. And like Melanie had said earlier, that this isn't just a one-time thing that Jesus only did this for Peter. That this is how Jesus is. This is what Jesus is like. That he doesn't quit on people, that he continues to use people even after they failed, even after they've given away to fear and doubt. So I'd have to ask my friends, how does this help us anchor our souls to God? How does the idea that Jesus still used Peter, how does that help us today? You guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, I know personally, when I called out to Jesus, he rescued me from the fear that I was trapped in, and even today, and he gave me a boldness and a desire to be an encourager to the church, to my fellow believers, and I do my best, but my best is never enough. It's God's speaks through us when we are relying on him to be our strength, to help us not be full of fear and feel like we're totally inadequate. Our inadequacy is what he wants. He wants us out of the way so he can speak through us to encourage others and to be a witness, even to our own brothers and sisters.
Amen. It is in our weakness that his strength is made perfect. And thank you for that, Tammy. I think of like when the rip current of fear and doubt of not having any friends is pulling us out to sea, or the rip current of peer pressure might be pulling us out to sea. And I mean, not just teens struggle with peer pressure. I mean, adults can struggle with peer pressure as much as teens can. When the rip current of what if the bullies get the best of me, that fear and doubt can pull us out to sea. It helps us to anchor our souls that God gives us courage for faithful obedience and faithful testimony, that he will give us the words to speak that we need.
I like that Jesus said, when you get back up to Peter. He didn't say, if you get back up. God, he has called us, for a purpose. I mean, we might think it's crazy. Why would he use me? But he knows what he wants, and he believes that we are going to do that. Jesus prophesied to Peter, you'll be back up, and when you get up, then strengthen your brothers. So if God does that for Peter, can do that for us too. He has, when we don't have confidence in ourselves, in a you know, bad way, we don't have confidence in ourselves, he believes that Jesus will change us, make us into the evangelist Peter and not the run and deny Peter.
Amen. Amen. Seeing Jesus prophesy and his prophecies come true remind us again how Jesus took our place, that he was the true prophet. He was the prophet that all the true prophets had always been pointing towards. But here he is getting persecuted and killed, being numbered with the transgressors as a false prophet. That's why they're saying, prophesy, who hit you? So Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. He took our place. He bore our sin. That's number one. Number two, but take hope because Jesus still uses sinners. He still uses failures. He uses people like us. I kind of wish the story ended here. But it doesn't. And we got to follow Peter up to Antioch. Antioch, we see in Galatians chapter 2, Antioch is quite a ways north of Jerusalem. And when Peter came to Antioch, Cephas is another name for Peter. And when Cephas came to Antioch, Antioch, again, like I mentioned, is quite a ways north of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you see down near the bottom of the screen by the 2 in Galatians. When Peter, or Cephas, came to Antioch, Paul writes, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Condemned because Peter was denying the gospel with his actions. Peter was saying one thing that was true, but living something completely different. I wish I didn't have to read this story. For before a certain man came from James, James is the head of the Jerusalem church, he was eating with the Gentiles. So that was a sign of fellowship, like sitting around the table says, I'm part of you, you're part of me, we're together in this, we're a group, I'm part of you. Probably there's part of that, probably refers to communion and the Lord's Supper and the love feasts. For before a certain man came from Jerusalem, came from James, who was in Jerusalem, he was eating with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. That the circumcision party were people who were saying, you're only part of the group if you've been circumcised. In other words, you can't really be saved unless you do your part and get circumcised, which is contrary to the gospel, because the gospel is that Jesus did the whole thing. And Jesus died for all of our sins, and that receiving him is just by grace. Peter got that at first. That's what he knew. He knew that gospel. But then when the guys came from Jerusalem, he got afraid. That's what it says, fearing the circumcision party. He got super afraid and then gave way to fear and denied the gospel like he had denied Jesus back in the courtyard of the high priest. He denies Jesus because of fear. The same old fears. The same fears he's been struggling with his whole life. For me, the hope here is that Jesus loves Peter past his fears. And that if Jesus loves Peter past his fears, fears that Jesus knew Peter had, that Jesus will love us past our fears. In fact, I think this is why Jesus names him Peter. Jesus names him Peter because Peter means rock, and it's an answer to his fears. Peter, your fears, though you'll have them your whole life, though you'll struggle with them your whole life, your name is rock. When you lean on me, so that you won't give way to fear, Peter. Jesus loves us past our fears, even the fears that we struggle with again and again and again and again. As you guys think about Jesus loving Peter past his fear, or Jesus loving us past our fear, how does that help us anchor our souls to God? Like, how would you use that truth to encourage someone you love that is really getting overwhelmed by fear and doubt?
Well, I think God knows and Jesus knows that we're only human and we're going to struggle. And it's normal for us probably to go through fears. It happens probably on a day-to-day basis in some ways, and especially what's going on right now. But I think this, to me, it's just an encouragement here, is that, you know what, Peter messed up, I mess up. I don't know if God's given me a different name to give me a little bit of encouragement. At least he did that for Peter, you know, to reflect on the name that God gave him. But I think we're going to go through some hard times. We're going to have fears. And I'm always thankful for God's word and the people that he uses as examples, how he will continue to help them overcome what is put in their life, as long as, of course, you had already mentioned it earlier, you know, as long as we continue to grow as Christians, and, you know, we have that Holy Spirit in us, and we use that for direction, too. So, you know, I know it's easy to say, don't be fearful, but because we're humans, we're going to, but it should be also an encouragement that, you know what, I am human, and this is when I know that I just have to turn to the Lord, not to be afraid to pray to him, and not to feel like I'm thankful God doesn't judge me because I mess up all the time, and I can't seem to get this fear thing under control at times, but to me, this should be an encouragement to us, just that we're going to go through it, but God's there for us, and he is our anchor.
So. Amen. It counts on God's strength and God's faithfulness, not ours, right? That God is there with us and for us, and we lean on him.
And he brings other people into our lives, too. You know, this is what our church family is for. We may not be able to get too close to each other right now, but you know what? That's technology, too, and we've talked about that. You know, you can always send words of encouragement to someone, and, you know, there's... You can still call people on the phone.
Works.
It does, both ways, you know. So, you know, that's why it's nice to have a church family. You know, even though we can't gather together, we know we're all going through something right now, and it's okay to encourage one another through this time.
So. Amen.
It's that belonging that makes that true, that Jesus loves us past our fears. We belong to him, so if we're afraid, we're still okay, like a dad and his kid, you know. You tell them, don't be afraid of that. There aren't dinosaurs alive, you know. Don't be afraid of that. It's the link. It's not that the 3-year-old doesn't think there's dinosaurs. He thinks, well, Dad's going to be with me. I belong to him.
I think sometimes it's that emotional exercise of remembering to call on Jesus, to recognize, oh, here I am again. How did I get here? I don't know, but Jesus, I need your help. And he's right there. I mean, he knows. You know, he's right there.
Amen. Amen. It's when, for Peter, it was when people came from Jerusalem and they said, dude, you shouldn't be doing that. They became really big, and Jesus became really small. And we have to remember to fix our eyes on Jesus so he becomes really big. We see him for how big he is, and we see our fears for how small they are. Good, and I just want to tie this back in to the emphasis and the themes that we've been working throughout this whole time as we land this here and talk about how we exalt in Christ by resting in his lordship. So if we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and this exalts Christ, I think today we can remember especially that he loves us. And I know this, what I was planning to do this morning was, I was planning to have the whole congregation here, of course, and I was planning to have you say out loud with me, Jesus loves me. You know, and I'm going to take a minute and think, okay, in spite of my fears, in spite of my failures, in spite of the same old fears and the same old failures, in spite of the denials, in spite of, you know, you could see Peter, when Paul rebukes him, you can see him going back to the courtyard of the high priest and thinking about how he denied him there and how he denied him again and thinking about his failures. And maybe you come back again and again to the same old fears, the same old failures, and we say, wait, 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 stop, stop, stop. Jesus loves me. Would you say that with me? I mean, I know it's weird. I know that like if it's in a family, like my family's at home, you know, I've sons that probably aren't going to do it or look at each other with raised eyebrows or, you know, whatever. But I think you need to hear yourself say it. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Rest in that the one who is crucified for you, the one that reigns over death, the one that makes a mockery of death by rising from it, he loves you. Rest in his lordship. And go free. Go free of fear and doubt. Fear and doubt are not your friends. They are not helping you. They are not giving you wise counsel. Fear and doubt are not making you smarter or better or more godly. Fear and doubt lead you into places that you don't want to go and give you results that you don't want to live with. Go free of fear and doubt. He has saved you from that. So, go free of fear and doubt by getting to know and really believing that Jesus loves you. This is why maybe it's all the more important. We talked about copying this passage of Scripture over these weeks leading up to Easter. Maybe it's all the more important to really see, as you copy this down, he did this for me because he loves me. He did this for me because he loves me. I will not give way to fear and doubt because he loves me. And we also want you to, as you guys talked about, really did a good job bringing up. I wish I would have thought of it first. I'd feel better about myself. But I'm glad that they brought up how important the church body is and how important it is that we connect with each other through this. And you might know people that really need encouragement or need to be reminded that Jesus loves them. You see Peter kind of go into the courtyard of the chief priest bravely. I mean, brave. They just capture Jesus. They go in there, start a fire. He follows them in, sits down in the middle of them, all by himself, without having prayed. Kind of like storming Satan's gates, all by yourself with no prayer. Let's not do that. Let's pray. And let's stick together. Who needs to know? Who needs to be reminded that Jesus loves them? And I still think we can go through with our unhurried meals. I don't think there's any precautions that would keep us from this. Unless you're sick, then please don't go through with the unhurried meals. But if you feel good, if you feel healthy, I think it's still okay. I haven't read anything, at least, that would tell me that you shouldn't gather. Well, like I say, unless you're, you know, maybe don't share food. Like plate to plate, like I'll take some of yours, you take some of mine, you know, I'll feed you from my fork. Like maybe not that, but you could probably still gather in the same house and love them. Love them past their fears. Love them past their doubts. And trust them to love you past your fears and past your doubts. So I told my friends that I was going to ask them, I was going to give them the last word here. And what do you guys think people need from this? You know, as we talk through this whole passage, what do they need?
So much has happened that Jesus could be with us, you know, as he was with Peter, as Peter was with him, and then the fact that we have a scripture we can read that's true, that's been preserved all these years, all the people who made that happen, who served God to bring it to us, and just the truth of Jesus coming. He really came. He can be with us, and he promised to give us his spirit. So I think Jesus is with us. That's what I'd say. Remember that. We're not alone.
He gave us his word, and there is great comfort in his word. And when we can't be together and talk about it, we can still be in it and let it calm us and let it encourage us.
Amen.
Not to repeat anybody, right? Can't do that. And it's just something I just thought of course, as we were going through this, you know, as Christians, okay, if we're dealing with fear, something along that line, but like you said, remind ourselves that Jesus loves us, and then we need to move on. And I think sometimes, you know, when someone might be bothering you, you know, at least with the kids, you know, you say, well, do you pray for that person? And I think maybe that's what we need to do as Christians right now, is like, okay, if we're dealing with fear, we know God's in control, and ask the Lord to lay some people maybe on our heart that we know we need to pray for. If we know people that aren't saved, they might be struggling a lot right now with hope and fear. And as Christians, it's our time to step up and be examples to them. And you never know how a situation like this, God can use us to reach out to the people that they don't have hope. They're not saved. They don't even know where to look. And unfortunately, it's situations like this in our world that brings us a little bit closer, but it opens those doors too. So I think as Christians, get control of ourselves if we have doubt, and pray about it and ask the Lord to open the doors to other people we need to minister to.
Amen. Tiana, take our eyes off ourselves, fix it on Jesus, and then serve our neighbors. That's really... from a distance, yeah.
Leave the food on the doorstep.
All right. And I think that I'm not really giving them the last word. I guess I'm going to take one more and just remind you to take hope, because Jesus loved you enough to take your place. Amen. And he loved you enough to not quit on you. When you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. Like, how could you strengthen your brothers and sisters today, this week? He loved us enough to take our place. He loved us enough to not quit on us, to still use us. And he loves us past our fears and our doubts. The same ones that plague us throughout our lives. He loves us past those. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for being able to communicate with a church family this morning. Lord, I pray that you would use this for good in people's lives, that it would really encourage people and give them a strong dose of hope that you are the anchor of their souls. That it is well because you are in charge and you love them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.